having me, Ryan and Rich. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so glad that we could get you on, because I was actually originally referred to you by Derek Myers from Riverwalk and Imminent and probably something else I'm forgetting.
Everything
else. Yeah. He's like all of us where I feel like he's just, you know, he's got his hands in like five different things at any given time.
Oh, yeah. I wish he'd run for office, but that's just me.
Right. That'll probably be next.
I'm waiting for it.
He's too smart to do that.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, there's that. Yeah. So you have a pretty incredible story, which we're going to get into, but first, we'd just love to hear a little bit about your personal background, where you grew up, going to school, all that good stuff.
Yeah, sounds great. So I grew up in Faribault, Minnesota. I was born and raised there. And my parents are amazing people, and they did a great job raising me in that community. I moved here to Northfield when I went to college at St. Olaf in 2020. So that was during the midst of all the crazy COVID stuff.
I have to interrupt you right now. I have to ask this question. I've been having this conversation with a few people lately. St. Olaf. I'm an alum, but I went to St. Olaf College, not St. Olaf.
Oh.
When did the pronunciation change?
I think when we got lazy.
All right. I interrupted you. I apologize. It's a personal thing for me. Go ahead.
A lot of times I just say Olaf, too.
Yeah.
Olaf. I'm more formal right now, and I said the Saint before.
No, I've always just referred to it as Olaf. I go with the O-L-U-H-F pronunciation.
I had family members that went there, so I'll have to ask them the same thing, because maybe at some point we'll be able to pinpoint
maybe a 20th century, 21st century thing. I don't know.
That'd be an interesting study.
Yeah, there you go.
I interrupted you, Chow. I apologize.
But yeah, I went to St. Olaf starting in 2020, and I graduated last May. Thank God. Needed lots of his help through that. But yeah, and then I opened my business, Tin Tea, in 2021. I developed the business plan my freshman year, and then it was open for about 2 months when I went into my sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. We were just talking a little bit off air before, and I'm like, I remember just being in college and like, you know, I was thinking, oh, and this huge paper due or like this big project and you're dealing with all that plus, oh, by the way, I have to run a business. Like, that is incredible. So before we dive into that, you had said that some of your influences came from your parents.
Yeah. My parents are both very entrepreneurial. So my mom grew up in a family business in Vietnam.
Okay.
My parents immigrated here like around 25, 30 years ago.
Okay.
So not long. They haven't been in this country for long. And they really showed me what hard work looks like. They came here with only like, my dad came here with only $200 in his pocket.
Wow.
And they were able to build up an empire to give me the confidence to open my business. So they're everything to me. They've taught me everything I know about leadership and, giving me good resources to succeed for sure.
What's your parents' business?
So my parents, they own residential properties and they rent them out. In 2008, during the housing market crash, they kind of just put all risk, every single penny into buying their first rental property. They've been buying properties ever since. So it was a blessed risk.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that was a time where a lot of people were going through a lot of hardships, but some people saw opportunities as well. So there you go.
Yeah.
Do you know how many rental properties they have today?
I think they have around 14.
Wow.
And then we have two homes for sale. So
Cool.
Yeah, so there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in those from me specifically having to go and paint all. And, you know, when I was a kid, it's like that's the last thing I would have wanted to do.
Yeah.
But they made me get up anyways, and they, you know, they told me it was required to keep going, and I did. And I never felt like I had, like, much of a choice, and I think that taught me a lot of discipline today, where it's like, I don't feel like doing it, but I promised myself I would do this one thing, or I have to succeed.
So there's that part of your personality that comes into your room, wakes you up, and says you have to get up, and walks out of your room before you can even argue with them.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, for sure. So I was working at the rental houses and then going to church. That was the two things where I was like, I really do not have a choice here. So.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I feel like that was my, you like, you know, church on Sundays, and during the week you're doing whatever chores you had. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I love that your family was such a big inspiration for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That's important. You know, we were just talking earlier about how professions tend to run in families.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yours is definitely to have that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yes.
So speaking of which, because we were also saying how you would not recommend to necessarily do what you did, the way in which you did it. Like, being an entrepreneur can be great. Maybe not while you're going to school.
Yeah.
What was it that initially sparked this idea of opening up a tea shop and wanting to make that a reality for you?
Yeah. So when I started at St. Olaf, it was during COVID. And so it was a very sad and, like, depressing time for me, because I went from being at high school, like, doing, you know, being the captain of 10 clubs, plus all of my academics were very rigorous. And so I was a very busy bee. Mm-hmm. And then when I started at St. Olaf, I was just so sad, because I found no value in my life, because all my value before came from leading people or being around people and just, like, spending time with others, caring for others, being of service. So when I went to St. Olaf, and I was just, you know, doing my 2 online classes for the day and then doing all the homework, and I just sit in my room like, wow, I kind of hate my life right now. Like, I am not enjoying this. Yeah, this is not fun. And so I was, like, sitting on the quad with some of my friends, and they were all like, Chow, where's, like, the nearest bubble tea shop? And I'm like, oh, it's only, like, 45 minutes away.
Yeah,
and, like, because that's what I grew up doing. I was like, oh, it's not that bad of a drive. And they were like, what? Like, we have, like, 6 boba shops and 5-minute walking distance. And I'm like, what? And so that's when I started looking into it a little bit. And then I pitched the idea to my older brother, and we were going to do it together. Mm-hmm. And then we pitched it to my parents, and they were not on board. but, you know, I'm the only girl of the family, so eventually I'll get what I want with enough bartering.
Are you the youngest, too?
No, I'm the middle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they ended up saying yes, but on the condition that if I opened up Tinty, if I ever failed a single class, they would pull the business out, like, and I would have to graduate college. I would have to have good grades. That was their condition for me.
They were really raising the bar and saying, hey, you really need to make, you need to really prove to us that you can make this work.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. And they've been very supportive throughout the whole thing. I mean, yesterday we ran out of cups and my dad had to run up large cups. So they're very awesome.
That's great. So they help you run the business as well?
Yeah. So they do a lot of the food prep stuff for all the banh mi. And then, yeah, they'll do grocery runs for me, which is really sweet, up to the cities. And then, yeah, my mom, she's really good with money. And so she does a lot of our book work and we do it together.
That's excellent. Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I'm sorry to encroach.
No, go ahead.
So you had been open for 2 months when your sophomore year began.
Yeah.
So basically, you opened this place up between your freshman and sophomore year, right?
Right.
So you had to order equipment. You had to find a space. You had to sign a lease. You had to get all, like, how did you pull that off at the end of your freshman year or first year at St. Olaf?
Yeah, St. Olaf. So it's very blurry. Ever, like, from the time that we signed the lease to when we opened the doors, like, all of that is very blurry to me because it was just so much work in such a short amount of time. But I just remember almost all of our equipment is used. So we, like, were on Marketplace, like, every single second. We were driving, like, who knows where. And at that time, there was, like, a stainless steel shortage.
There was it was COVID.
Yes,
it was an everything shortage.
Yeah, it was an everything shortage. And so we were, like, we would take any stainless steel that we would see. And so we would be driving, like, an hour and a half for a single table. Wow. It was a crazy time.
God bless Facebook Marketplace. Like, seriously.
I love Facebook Marketplace.
It's like the main reason I still have a Facebook account is, like, for Marketplace.
I scroll on it like social media. Like, yeah. I don't even have to be looking for anything.
Yeah. Like, just what's out there. I don't know. Yeah. I love that. Or like, I even, there's this like auction website I'll look at for stuff. Like, you can find some amazing deals out there for things.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, people are just, they just don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. So you just really scrapped and scrounged and did whatever you needed to do to get the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about that first year in business. What was that like?
Yeah, I can start at the very beginning. So our soft opening, we had 2 days of soft opening, and then we took like a week to like kind of, you know, get our ducks in a line and then did our hard launch.
Learn from that and be like, okay, what worked, what didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I remember after the first day of the soft opening, I was sobbing.
Oh.
I was under so much stress that I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so stressful. Literally everything went wrong that day. Like, not a single thing went right. And honestly, we were very much rushed that way too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really get the chance to train our employees. We didn't really like do a bunch of test runs. And it was like my family just kind of hopping in and just hoping that they could kind of pick up, you know,
figure it out as we go.
And that is not a way to do any of that.
No, it's not a good plan.
It's no way to run a business, I can promise you.
Yes. It was a pretty gnarly day. And we weren't even that, like, looking back at the sales, we weren't even that busy, but I think it was just like me having to like lead this like ship of just chaos. It was just not a great time. So from that, but at least I knew that from that point on, there's nothing that could have gotten worse.
Yeah.
You know, it was only up from here. And so that's when we like really started standardizing things. And, you know, employees would come in with their like opinions and backgrounds, and they would give us advice into like, okay, like this is what we did at Caribou. This is what we did at James Gang. Mm-hmm. This is what we did at so-and-so. And so I would take a lot of advice from them and from places that they've worked in the past. And I was a barista for like 4 years. So try to work that into our business. And then we started the first year, we grew really fast because everyone was so excited about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very grateful that we had a good entry into the community and not having to.
Yeah. You were hopping from the word go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so grateful for that. I'm still impressed to this day how that happened, because we're not even downtown.
Right.
So it can be kind of hard for those outside businesses to get the attention that they deserve.
Sure.
So yeah.
You are close to the high school, however.
Yes.
And you like a lot of the young people, it's my impression at least that's sort of your core group of customers. Is that right?
Yeah. We get all walks of life through the door, but especially high school and the college students and kids, and younger. So usually the kids are dragging in their grandparents or whatever,
yeah.
But that's how we get the other walks of life. But we have a to-go model as well. So we're not really like sit down. And that works well because we have such a big parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Nice. That's excellent. So things have really been taking off since then, and you're getting more stable.
Yes. Oh, very stable. Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about the products that you sell.
Yeah.
What is, for people who maybe have never been to Tin Tea or a Boba Tea shop, what do you have?
Yeah. So we have all kinds of things. We have over like 120 drink items.
Wow.
And we like to say we have something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a little bit of time and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll find you something that you enjoy.
Sure.
But mainly we serve boba, which is our bubble tea. You can use the words interchangeably, which are like classically they're milk teas. So they're really densely brewed teas with a little bit of creamer.
Okay.
And then usually ice, and then tapioca pearls. So they're like these chewy little brown sugar pearls.
Mm.
So, you know, we have our boba connoisseurs that love the traditional route. We also have really fun and fruity flavors too. So we have like a bunch of fruit teas, which is just like a green tea base with like a fruit flavoring, and then popping pearls, which are these little spheres, and you kind of get them at yogurt bars and stuff little pearls that pop.
Mm-hmm.
So people love those. And then I've learned that our community is go absolutely crazy for our Red Bull drinks.
Oh, okay.
So it's, sure. Yeah, why not? So it's Red Bull, cream flavoring, and then like a boba, and people go crazy for that. And then all week we have banh mi, which is Vietnamese sandwiches. Super good.
Love them.
Low calorie, high protein. I like to tell my gym rats out there. And then spring rolls on Saturday and Sunday.
Yum. Yes. There was this one restaurant when I was, I grew up in Red Wing.
Yeah.
And for a little while we had this restaurant that made this incredible banh mi sandwich, and I still think about it to this day.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I'll have to come in and try your banh mi sometime.
Please do.
Yeah. Along with everything else, because it all sounds delicious. So you have a wide variety of options. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your hours. When can people come and visit you?
We're open Tuesday through Sunday. We're only closed on Monday. Tuesday through Saturday, we're open 11 to 8. And then on Sunday, we're open 11 to 7.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. And do you have social media accounts people can come check you out at?
Please check out our social media. On Instagram, we're tint_mn. We post really funny videos. And then we also post a little bit about our story and then our seasonal products.
Awesome.
And then we also have a Facebook. You can just search up Tinty Northfield and I think it'll pop up.
Tell me again, where is Tinty located?
It is on 2010 Jefferson Road. So we are right by Pronails and Grand Plaza.
And that strip mall, Papa Murphy's.
And the Papa Murphy's strip mall. Yeah,
gotcha.
Nice. Right. Very cool. Well, I know I could keep talking to you, but we're already a little bit past. But thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it. And you just have an amazing story. So I'm sure we'll have to have you back at some point to highlight some special products things. So,
Chow, you're welcome on this station anytime you want to come on.
Yeah, if you just want to just come on and pitch whatever. Like, let us know.
You want to do a show for entrepreneurs or something. We'll work that out.
Okay. All right.
And we'll definitely be looking forward to maybe a Tinty 2 in the future somewhere, in Northfield or Faribault or wherever.
In the new Archer, perhaps.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I'll have to start talking to people to see what we can do.
See?
It's there too close to you guys, though.
No, that's perfect.
Definitely not. I would just be spending my money there all the time, and I'm fine with that.
Okay. Chell, thanks so much.